fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand, so let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
Okay, we are practicing extreme social distancing tonight. Good evening, everyone. Mark Holliday in. Pete is in a undisclosed location. Pete, can you hear me?
Yes, right. I can hear you.
All right, very good.
Welcome to Common Sense Radio. It's Thursday night. It's 8 p.m. You're right where you should be, in front of your radio or listening on TuneIn Radio or streaming at FMTalk1065.com. And as Mark said, we are practicing extreme social distancing. We are not 6 feet apart. We're not 16 feet apart. We're not 60, 600. We are 6,000 yards apart tonight. And we're doing this to conform with the social distancing. And Mark's in the studio. I'm at undisclosed location that is much like when we did the remote with cigar and beers. I've got one lit up. And Teresa, you're there in another undisclosed location, right?
Okay, we have.
Did we lose Teresa?
Apparently, we're not.
I'm in my underground bunker. Can you hear me?
There she is. Yes, she's in her underground bunker. Pete is what she relayed. So
in her underground bunker, that's great. Okay, well, as always, we are here, crisp and clear, because our award-winning engineer has not only washed the electrons, has found virgin electrons. Since he realized he had so many virgin electrons, he banished me from the studio because he didn't want me getting close to him. But he's here with our award-winning engineer, all-around nice guy, executive producer, co-host, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. It's always a pleasure to be here. I'll do the studio audience. No studio audience tonight. So there's your little applause.
There you go. Very good. And from afar, she has probably an impossible task to try to bring some kind of dignity and decorum to the show tonight. She is our director of quality assurance, executive producer, head of the research department, co-host, all-around nice gal, gold star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor, at an undisclosed location.
Yeah, I'll clap for her, but she has left the building right now.
Is she gone?
This is new technology, folks. So there's going to be a glitch here and there, but yeah, she's left the building, and we'll see if we can't reconnect at some point.
See, we can't plug her back in.
Yeah, we'll work on that. Otherwise, we'll continue to move forward.
Right. Before we get, obviously, the big story and the only story almost. There are a couple other things we'll get to in presidential politics a little bit later, but really the big story is still this Chinese virus, this Wuhan flu that has got the country, the world, basically shut down. But I want to open on a serious note, folks, because I know we'll go through and sometimes we'll make a little bit light here and try to work our way as we discuss and debate. But it is very real, it's very serious, and I want to take a serious moment, because it has touched the FM Talk 106.5 family, if you have not known or heard or seen. But one of the staff at FM Talk 106.5, Rennie Brabner, who's been around for a long time. He's in the sales department. He also did a lot of radio stuff. He's been in radio and TV for 40 years in Mobile, working at various stations. Been with Big River Broadcasting for quite a number of years. You would remember him for the Mardi Gras Minute every year.
Moon Pie Minute.
He did the Moon Pie Minute. That's right, about Mardi Gras. Right. The Moon Pie Minute. And sadly, Rennie last week got sick, and it turns out he contracted the virus. And very quickly, we are very, very sad to report that he succumbed to the COVID-19 yesterday. And we want to shout out to him and his family. Rennie Brabner was a great American, a wonderful radio man, a wonderful human being, just warm, the nicest guy you'll ever meet. And we want to ask everybody to pray for his family, to let God strengthen and comfort them in this really troubling time. And I just want to make sure we preface that this is serious. We're going to talk through a lot of the issues, but this is very serious, and it's not it can't be more serious than when it hits right home in your backyard with a good friend, co-worker, who has been struck down by this awful, awful disease.
Yeah.
So I'd ask for everybody,
keep
say a prayer tonight for Rennie Brabner and his family.
Right. Absolutely. And it looks like Teresa has reconnected with us. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you back?
For some reason, it let me go, but now I'm back in.
So. Well, we're going to try and hang on to you tight.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, don't let her go.
Good. I will stay here.
She's safe because she's 6,000 yards away, but don't let her go.
That's all right.
Okay, in the big picture, obviously, the crisis continues. In the United States, we're up at about 15,000 dead, which is a big number. So put that in perspective. More people have died from this virus in 2 months in the United States than died from the swine flu in a year. That was about 12,500 or so died from the swine flu in a year, not 2009 to 2010. And we already have over 15,000. So it is a very serious and deadly disease, and obviously very contagious because it does get around. However, they keep talking about flattening the curve, and as of tonight, the Johns Hopkins reports the United States now has 461,437 confirmed cases in the United States, the most in the world. The world is about a little over 1.5 million tonight. Now, that is a big number since last week when it was 243,500. But we've been tracking this for the last 5 weeks, and we brought it up last week, but the factor continues to go down. When we started a few weeks ago, the first week there was a tenfold increase, increased by 10 times. Mm-hmm. The second week, it was 5.4. Last week, the increase was a 3.5 times. This week, it has increased by 1.9. Those are good numbers, folks. There's reason to be optimistic, because if that trend continues, and sometime either next week or the week after, that factor goes below one, meaning it less than doubles, that means that should be the peak in the country, that we've gone over the top and the cases will be going down. And while today was a tragic day in New York, New Jersey, they had the single highest deaths. I think New York State saw 799 today, which was a record for them, and not a number they wanted to see, a tragic number. But their admittances, their hospital admittances, and their ICU admittances have gone down. And people on ventilators are all going down every day in New York and New Jersey. We're still over 40% of the cases in the United States are in New York and New Jersey. So get you continue to pray for those folks. But I'm trying to put that in perspective that, you know, the numbers are big, but I think they're talking about flattening the curve. And I think we are starting to see that. And I mean, goodness gracious, with the drastic social distancing we're doing, if that doesn't work, nothing works.
Yeah.
You're right. And so, can you hear me right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think
go ahead,
reason for hope there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and you know, while we're on numbers, on the other side of that coin, we learned today we're at 16 million plus unemployment. So we got to talk about that as well. So what are your thoughts on that, Pete?
Yeah, Pete, Teresa, I'm not sure if you could hear everything that she said. But,
I couldn't hear what she said.
But just the idea that talking about numbers, we're at 16 million unemployed, and that's another part of this issue, is not only the health concern, which is grave and of utmost importance, but the health of the economy as well. We're at 16 million unemployed now, and a lot of people trying to get their unemployment benefits are running into a lot of people trying to clog the system, I suppose.
Well, yeah, it's overwhelming the system. We've never had, even in the Great Depression, this many people become unemployed this quickly
yeah.
in such a short period of time. I mean, these are staggering numbers. It's over 16 million now unemployed, so that puts it as something. Unemployment is now something over 10%. I couldn't find a calculation today, but it's something over 10%. So this, and that's kind of one of the things we want to step through. Look, we got to do things to protect ourselves and our communities, but what is the balanced approach? How much is enough? How much is too much? And that goes into, that's one of the things we ask if people want to text in at 251-343-0106 or call in. Mark is at the boards and we can get calls on. But what is too much? What is enough? And then this goes, the other debate that's going is the models were all grossly wrong. The models, first they said if we do nothing, it's 2.2 million Americans die. And they said, but if we do social distancing, it's between 100, well, they said maybe 240,000. And then they said 100 to 200,000. Now that, then last week it was 80,000. Now we're down to 60,000, which, you know, we're already at 15.
Right.
So that doesn't seem to, but those models are coming way down. So what is the prudent measure to say, look, New York, New Jersey needs to continue, but places in the Midwest where they have hardly any cases, or really Alabama tonight, and Mobile, I think the state has a little over 2,000 cases. Mobile has, I think the last number I saw was last night, 200, no, we had, I saw today, there's over 300 cases in Mobile and 10 confirmed deaths.
Right, right.
So what, nobody wants those deaths, any death is too many, but you know, where is the point where we can start reopening our businesses with precautions?
Exactly. And we'll get into that and your text and phone calls at 251-343-0106. Pete, Teresa, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Common Sense Radio on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
Okay, and we are back. Hang on a second here. There we go. A lot of buttons here tonight, folks. A lot of buttons, and we're back, and Pete's back. And Teresa
and Mark's playing with the buttons by himself.
there's a bunch of them in front of me. I'm not sure what they all do.
I know.
We do.
We got Mark in there without any adult supervision. So, this extreme social distancing. But hey, we're working through the technical difficulties, and we're trying to work our sort of wade through what's going on with the Chinese virus. One of the things I wanted to bring up, which is interesting, we talked about the United States, and we talked about where we are, and we have the most in the world. Now, what's really interesting is this started in Wuhan, China, and they got up to about 82,500 cases about a month ago now, and they just stopped. No cases after that. Does anybody literally believe that in China, with almost 1.5 billion people, that they stopped? At 82,000, and Wuhan, China, for those of you who don't know, is about like New York City. It's about 10 million people stacked upon, stacked and racked on each other, as densely populated as New York City, and they were able to just stop. And then here's the other question that's been coming up. This virus, obviously contagious, has spread around the globe. It has traveled tens of thousands of miles and broken out in almost every major urban center on the planet. And places like New York City is devastating. Los Angeles has it, Chicago. But New York City, very, very bad. A lot of places in Europe are very bad. How come Shanghai and Beijing, which are also similar sizes, huge, actually, I think they're in the 20 million range, huge, densely populated city, only a few hundred miles from Wuhan, have had minimal cases and never shut down. Mm-hmm. They never shut down and they're still open. I think that's a fascinating question to ask. How did the Chinese keep it from spreading to their other urban areas? And the one urban area where it started, unlike the rest of the world, they were able to literally stop it on a dime. Does anybody believe that? Or what is the story there?
Yeah, it's interesting, and of course now it brings the World Health Organization and the head of that into the firing line, I guess, the controversy over his and that organization's initial reaction and how much worse it this whole pandemic became because of a lack of information, a lack of investigation at the very beginning of this from Wuhan. I mean, it's just, you know, unforgivable, really.
Yeah, and that guy, I forget his name, he's like the guy from the UN a few years ago, Boutros, whatever his name is. I can't think of his name, but the head of the WHO from Ethiopia. Today he defended North Korea because they insist North Korea has exactly zero cases.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. We got none. That, which takes me back to China. And this gets into the conspiracy theories, I guess. But there are reports, and nobody can confirm them, that if they are telling the truth, the way they got rid of the virus, they exterminated the virus. And when I say exterminated, they basically, if you were positive, they got rid of you. It didn't spread because if you came down with it, you were gone.
Wow.
So there's some hair-raising tales coming out. Now, no one knows if it's true. You can't verify anything out there. But the reason you have to pause and think about it is, wait a minute, how could they possibly stop it on a dime? And literally a month ago, stop it about 82,500 cases, and oh, we got no more.
Right.
That's not virtually. It is impossible.
No doubt.
So they're either lying about who all has it, or they did something pretty gruesome to contain it. Did Teresa rejoin us?
No, but we've got some callers on the line. If you want,
let's go to John in Mobile. Let's see what John's got for us.
All right, is this John? Did you hang with us? No, hello. Who is this?
Hello?
Yes, what's your name?
It's Joe Abdullah.
Okay, Joe, what's on?
Hey, Joe.
How y'all guys?
Good. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm glad you guys the conservative people finally coming around to the coronavirus stuff, you know, because at first they were calling a hoax. You still got a Silk and Diamond calling a hoax today. But my question is, how are they going to get a handle of how many people are affected if they're not giving any free tests? The test costs $50. And you got a lot of people can't afford the test.
Where do the tests cost $50? They're supposed to be free.
It's if they're at the Board of Health, you have to have an insurance card to go to Last Stadium to get a test. I want to know, where are they free? That's the question.
Well, we have to look.
One other thing I'd like to say, why didn't the mayor give these first responders hazardous pay? He got $60 million in a disaster fund or something in case an emergency come up. What more emergency can that be?
Well, he's been spending that money, Joe, and as a matter of fact, since Mobile is the revenue that the city gets is derived almost exclusively from sales tax, and nobody is out spending any money and buying anything, those funds are rapidly being depleted. I don't have access to the checkbook or the books of the Mobile City government.
It's $12 million.
But $12 million.
They're down $12 million a month right now, and that's what their projections are going forward. And that's what the reserve is for, is to keep the city operating when they're not taking in that $12 million right now.
Poor responders, go out there and risk your life, and you got $60 million sitting there and won't even pay these people some extra money for their hazardous pay.
Well, I don't know that they won't pay him a hazardous pay, and that's been brought up around the country in a lot of places. The president has talked about that, and I mean, these people deserve hazardous duty pay. Hey, they deserve hazardous duty pay every day for what they do, going out into our communities to keep us safe. They face danger every day. I mean, we've lost two police officers in the last 2 years in the line of duty, so I mean, there's no debate that they deserve it every day, and even now.
Giving free tests. Will you have them call and let me know where the free tests are? Because they're not going to be able to give an accurate count on how many people that's affected if you have to pay to get a test.
All right, we'll check into that and see if we can find that information.
No, Joe. Joe, I agree with you on that. We need the tests to find out who has it. Because if we can get an accurate count of how many people actually have it, because I just reported that they have 300 confirmed cases, I would tell you, I bet there's a zero missing. I bet there's at least 3,000 people in the county that have cases. We just don't know who they are or where they are, and the testing is necessary.
You can't get a free test nowhere.
Well, we're going to have to look into that because that was one of the... Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
And nobody called... Now, one thing I had to correct, I didn't want to get into it with him, but nobody called the virus a hoax, but they said they would use the response and as a and he didn't call it a hoax. He said it was their next Russian hoax, a Ukrainian hoax, to malign the president for him doing his job, which they are doing.
Oh, yeah.
They are doing that every day.
As a matter of fact, Biden has a new campaign ad. I just saw it today that, you know, what Joe would do different. And it goes through, you know, this and testing and closing borders. I mean, you know, just all kinds of things, list by list of things that supposedly Joe Biden would do differently than Trump has done. So politicizing this thing, I think Uncle Joe takes the prize on that one.
Yeah, nobody wants to politicize this at this time. And then he didn't call it a hoax. He called what their response would be, and that's what has been their response. He was the one who did the travel ban on January 29th before anybody barely knew about this thing, and they called him a racist and a xenophobe for doing it. And all the scientists will tell you that saved tens of thousands of Americans and gave us time to respond. And this was a new virus that we had to develop testing. We didn't have tests. We had to develop. These tests have all been developed in the last, and now there's a five-minute test. I don't have the numbers, but I know there's a company trying to produce millions of them. But Joe, I do agree with Joe that we need free testing available to everybody. If insurance could pay, fine. But otherwise, we need to test people and get a good, accurate reading of how many people actually have this. And I think probably a lot more people than we know already do or had this.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And
I hear the music.
You do hear the music, and we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back with more Common Sense Radio on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
And we are back. Mark Holliday, along with Pete Rehm. Teresa has joined us on the phone as well. And Pete, it's up to you, my friend.
Yep. We're back, and it's the bottom of the hour. And as we always do, we bring aboard ABC Signs and Shirts, our special sponsor. They are your headquarters for custom-made signs, dry fit shirts. You make one or a million, they'll design it, make it for your sports team, your family reunion, your employees, or just say, I survived Chinese virus, whatever you want. They'll do it for you, or they'll give you yard signs for your business or for your political campaign. Whatever it is, they can help you out at ABC Signs and Shirts. Check them out at abcshirts.biz, B-I-Z, and abcsigns.biz. They bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
My fellow Americans, this week, as American families draw together in worship, we join with millions upon millions of others around the world, also celebrating the traditions of their faiths. During these days at least, regardless of nationality, region, or race, we are united by faith in God, and the barriers between us seem less significant. Observing the rites of Passover and Easter, we are linked in time to the ancient origins of our values and to the unborn generations who will still celebrate them long after we're gone. As Paul explained in his epistle to the Ephesians, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens of God's household. This is a time of hope and peace when our spirits are filled and lifted. It's a time when we give thanks for our blessings, chief among them freedom, peace, and the promise of eternal life. This week, Jewish families and friends have been celebrating Passover, a tradition rich in symbolism and meaning. Its observance reminds all of us that the struggle for freedom and the battle against oppression, waged by Jews since ancient times, is one shared by people everywhere. And Christians have been commemorating the last momentous days leading to the crucifixion of Jesus 1950 years ago. Tomorrow, as morning spreads around the planet, we'll celebrate the triumph of life over death, the resurrection of Jesus. Both observances tell of sacrifice and pain, but also of hope and triumph. As we look around us today, we still find human pain and suffering, but we also see it answered with individual courage and spirit strengthened by faith. For example, the brave Polish people, despite the oppression of a godless tyranny, still cling to their faith and their belief in freedom. Shortly after Palm Sunday Mass this week, Lech Walesa faced a cheering crowd of workers outside a Gdansk church. He held his hand up in a sign of victory and predicted, "The time will come when we will win."
And boom, that is Ronald Reagan's radio address to the nation on the observance of Easter and Passover on the 2nd of April, 1983. And I picked that one because it's Easter weekend, it's Holy Week and all that, but it was a message of hope and that we will win. The time will come when we will win. This too shall pass. And, you know, he's talking about that we're a resilient people, and it's our faith. It's our faith that will deliver us. It's the Lord that will deliver us, and that we need to be praying. And it kind of goes along with this week's column, which is Paranoia, Petulance, and Misperceptions of the Faithless. And I recommend it. Go to the daily, thecallnews.com or Tri-City Ledger or Bama News Now. It's posted there as well, bamanewsnow.com. And it's just, I take a little twist in the column this week about how the leftists have just piled on the president. I mean, they tried to hang on him about the fish tank cleaner thing, the coronavirus thing, and how they the New York Times wrote a op-ed here a couple weeks ago that said, we have a bad response because Trump is beholden to evangelicals and evangelicals reject science. Which is just absurd notions that these things abstract us, and then they attack the way they attacked Mr. Pillow. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The way they attacked Mr. Pillow for saying, "Hey, he announced changing 75% of his manufacturing to the mask," but he also, while he was up there, said, "And read your Bibles. Take this time to reconnect with your family and read your Bible." And people went nuts about this. And the sad thing is they don't really understand Christ, because these people, they're attacking our faith, and then the other one was New York Mayor Bill de Blasio came out about Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's ministry that brings health care to disaster areas, and he said the LGBTQ community was in an uproar because he came to Central Park, and the mayor of Bill de Blasio said, "You know, I'm going to be watching them very closely to make sure they don't discriminate against the LGBTQ community, turn them away, or give them substandard care." And while that's aggravating that it's such an absurd notion, what really the tragedy to me is that the atheists, the liberals, the leftists, the faithless, they really don't understand Christianity. They don't understand Jesus Christ. That Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, Jesus Christ, they would not turn away anyone who was in need. No. We're all sinners. If you're LGBTQ, you're a transgender, whatever you are, you're a drunk, you're a drug addict, you're a gambler, we're all sinners. It doesn't matter. He showed compassion to all. And to me, that was the point in the column, is what a tragedy. It's aggravating that they attack, but the real tragedy is they really do not understand the compassion of Christianity and the infinite love of Jesus Christ to all people, because we're all sinners and he doesn't cast you aside. He will welcome you with open arms. And that's the column at BamaNewsNow.com, Call News, Tri-City Ledger, or the post up in chair, wherever you can find it.
Yeah. And let me just jump in on that as well, Pete. I know I've seen, you know, so sad that we won't be able to celebrate Easter this year. And, you know, isn't it a shame that, you know, our Easter services are not going to be celebrated and that sort of thing. And here's the fact. The reality is, every Christian is celebrating Easter. We may not be able to gather with family for dinner. We may not be able to gather in sanctuaries with other believers, but we are all celebrating the risen Savior. We're all celebrating
exactly.
That. It's not that we're not celebrating Easter. We're celebrating it differently this year, but the celebration continues.
And look, the churches are adapting. They're doing drive-in churches. They're doing online churches. Look, my dear sweet wife has figured out a way for the family, because we usually have a big family gathering on Easter, and she is going to do one of them online meetings. I don't know, Zoom or something.
Yeah, Zoom's the big one these days.
Yeah, she's going to do an online meeting for the whole family to actually be together, even though we're hundreds of miles apart.
Okay, we got a caller hanging on. Should we go to the phones?
Let's go to Thomas. Yeah, let's go to Thomas.
All right, Thomas, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing just great. How about you, Mark?
Well, I am healthy. I am functioning. I'm as good as I've ever been,
That's
I guess.
Great one.
That's why I love you. Good evening, Pete and Teresa.
Hey, Thomas.
I'm 10,000 leagues on top of... Fort Courage right now. That's where I'm staying.
Okay.
I've been here 12 years
Good
all
for
by
you.
Myself. I got this isolation knocked.
Someone said.
You got the isolation thing down. It doesn't bother you. You know what? You should do a webinar on how to be isolated, you know?
You can call WKRG at 479-5555, and they will tell you numerous places where you can get tested for free, Mark.
We know that.
And what was that number again?
Right.
479-5555. And they'll give you numerous. And see, creationists and evolutionists, they can live together.
Well, we are living together. We can. We certainly can. But thank you for giving us that number. So you call that number, and they can tell you where you can get a free coronavirus test?
Absolutely. That's TV5. And one other thing, call your senators, your congressmen. Trump is going to meet with heads of the airlines this weekend, and he's going to propose socialism. The country taking over part of the airlines so they don't get together and create a monopoly. And this is the first step in socialism. We don't
what?
Need
I've not heard
of
about
the airline
that.
Business for the government to run.
And
he's going to do what now?
Well,
he's going to meet with the airlines to take
to
them
get
over?
Together. With the heads of the airlines, and they're in such bad shape, he's going to propose giving him, the country, United States, part of the business if the U.S. will bail them out.
Thomas, that's an interesting and scary proposition there. We don't need to be taking those steps.
What's scary is how I felt about Trump all these years. Well, I'm listening to Biden. I got to vote for Trump because Biden, I think he's wackier than Trump.
Yeah,
Biden is definitely wackier.
He's just over his head on all of this. And the poor guy, he's showing his signs of age now, which is just sad that you keep shoving a guy out there. I mean, when those things happen, it's like when it happened to Reagan, you didn't see him anymore. It was done.
Yeah.
They protected him. They hit him.
Let me step aside for someone else. I love you, and I'll stay safe.
You do that, Thomas.
Stay
we appreciate
safe.
You.
Stay safe.
All right, Thomas. In isolation for 12 years, if one man is going to survive the coronavirus, it'll be Thomas. He'll be left when the rest of us are gone. All right, we'll be right back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio. We've made it through three segments. Let's see if we can make it through one more. We can take your calls and text at 251-343-0106. As we were closing out the last segment, Thomas was mentioned that after listening to Biden, he might actually have to vote for Trump, which wanted me, I wanted to go ahead and one non-coronavirus news is today, Bernie Sanders dropped out of the presidential race without even a whimper, just dropped out. And I was somewhat fascinated by that in that, wait a minute, all the presidential politics are sort of on hold right now. While we're doing all politics, for that matter, are kind of on hold, except what's going on in Washington. But otherwise, it's kind of on hold. And yes, he was in a very, very tough place where it kind of looked like you can't get there from here. But what I didn't understand is the presumptive nominee has been stumbling badly for the last month. I mean, not just that he's stumbling in his campaign, but just the questions about his ability are quite acute. And looking like, look, this guy may not actually be able to do it. We might need somebody else. So why would the number two guy, even though he's arguably a distant second, why would he drop out? Yeah. Why wouldn't he wait and see how this plays out over the next couple of months? Because, you know, as we come out of this, start reopening the country, hopefully by May, the campaigning will start back. Why? So that was kind of bizarre to me. Teresa, what did you think about that?
Well, yeah, I agree. I think it's just kind of like, it's funny that 4 weeks into this, he drops out. You know, I'm like, there's socialism for you. The durability of it's not real great.
So you mean he was been watching actually socialism in effect in the United States, and he decided, hey, you know what, it's not such a good
I'm
idea.
No, I'm sure he's not looking at it like that, but for us that are on the other side of the fence, we can totally look at it like that. We understand, you know, have you enjoyed your 30-day free trial of socialism, people? I haven't. I don't like it at all.
You can only do what the government tells you, and they tell you they're sending checks, and you don't know when you're going to get them.
Right.
Or if you're going to get them.
That little drop in the bucket's really going to help you. I think right now, my recommendation just for our loyal listeners and our great group that tunes in for us, you know, this is a good time. Everyone's like, what do you do with the time on your hands? Get your little pocket Constitution app. Read the Constitution again. Even if things are done with good intentions, the Constitution doesn't just die because there's an illness or a virus floating around. So when your mayor, your governor stands up and just decrees something, don't forget to have the ability to recognize, is this a constitutional thing they're doing, or are they just doing this? We don't necessarily have to, even in our minds, disagree. I mean, I'll admit I've been very compliant. I've tried to be very good. I don't go out nearly as much unless I need to, but with two teenage boys, I still have to buy a lot of groceries. I'm complying, but inside, I'm reading constantly, I'm watching, I'm looking, I'm questioning. Valid questioning is still not against the law.
Right. I mean, because really, this is an encroachment on our rights. They tell us we have to be home at night now in Mobile. There's a curfew. You're not supposed to be going out unless you're an essential worker. If you're non-essential, you know, we can't go to restaurants.
And here,
all the retail shops are closed.
And I mean, I think maybe if you're in Alabama, it's not necessarily like seeming horrible all of a sudden. But if you read some stories deep in the internet, you'll hear of like, oh, there was a guy in the Pacific Ocean paddling in a kayak all alone, and they descended upon him and arrested him. I mean, there's some weird things going on, you know, like people.
No, somewhere where there's a guy took his daughter out to a ball field. There was nobody there but him and his daughter, and they were playing ball, and they arrested the father with his, like, 6-year-old daughter.
Kind of things, like, just everyone needs to, don't turn a blind eye to it just because someone says there's a virus floating around. It's still okay to have a very critical mind. It's a really great time to read up on your Constitution if you're not familiar with it, and that's okay. We're still free to read anything we want, as far as I think.
I think we still are, yeah.
Yeah.
No, and that's one of the main points.
Still, I think.
Yeah, no, if we're willing to make some concessions about our rights for the protection of ourselves, our community, and all that, but what's prudent? What's enough? What's balanced? Yeah. When is it enough? When does it need to go back? I mean, these are things. And then you got to watch out because, like, the $250 billion they were going to plus up for small businesses because they said, you know, so many people have been applying for these small businesses. That $350 billion maybe that was they in the package last week may be spoken for, and they want to plus it up. And it's all held up because they're trying to bury things like mail-in voting.
Right.
The federal government... Yeah. The House Democrats are trying to stuff that in there, insert, and it's unconstitutional because the federal government wants to insert themselves into how the states run their voting, their elections. That's a state's issue. The states run their elections, and now they want to stick, they want to intrude in on that. That's unconstitutional. But mail-in voting, does anybody think that mail-in voting won't be fraught with fraud?
Oh,
yeah, all day. And, you know, Pete, we've been dutiful over the years to always do a terrorism segment. Well, let's just stop and just remind ourselves, if you dig around, you can find there's all of these things are going on. We still have enemies that are not sitting on our hand on their hands just because these things are going on. So I just encourage people to read about things that aren't necessarily being reported on because they're still happening.
Yeah. No, there's still, and I mean, I was doing the show prep, but it's almost all coronavirus. I mean, Bernie was about the only thing I turned up that wasn't the coronavirus stuff. But it's an all-consuming thing right now. But you're right, we got to keep track of all the other things that are going on. We still have enemies. Look, China is showing themselves to be quite untrustworthy, and we've known that, and an enemy. And I mean, as we come out of this, we need to be bringing manufacturing back from China, especially our pharmaceuticals. We can't be relying on them for our drugs, for 80-90% of the drugs, particularly antibiotics. That's insanity to think that we've allowed that.
Alan West is doing a lot of good work in that regard as well. So there's still good reporting out there. You just have to dig for it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we need to stand up. We need to be asking the right questions and talking about when is it time to start reopening. And look, if this curve is flattening, like we're starting to see here in April, it's not the middle of April yet. You know, you almost got to wonder, Trump wasn't that far off with Easter. Because if we're flattening now right after Easter, we should be making plans to start reopening. Now, maybe New York City can't. Maybe Philadelphia can't. Maybe New Orleans can't. But large swaths of this country can start returning to normal. I mean, you can't get some sort of adversity like this and then everybody goes and hides and hunkers down for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, we retreat into our little communities and nobody goes in or out of our communities because we're so afraid of this virus. I mean, yes, it's deadly. Yes, it's contagious. But we need to figure out how to cope with it and deal with it. I mean, we're not the first people to deal with a pandemic in history.
Right, right. It's a different world, and one that you know, we just, you know, can't roll over and cede all of our rights that have been, you know, hard fought won just because, you know, we got to figure out where the middle ground is and how to recover from this quicker, sooner than later. And we're just about out of time, Pete. You're going to hear the music in just a second.
And I would like to just admonish everybody, pray for this country. Pray for all the people affected, those that have passed, like our good friend Rennie Brabner. Pray for our president. He has the weight of the world on him. Pray for all of our leaders, our governors. Doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. Pray for them that they make the right decisions, and pray for all the people, but most of all, pray for this country and celebrate the risen Savior this weekend, Holy Week, Easter, because that's who's going to deliver us. So, America, repent. Pray to the Lord. He will hear. He will turn his face towards us. He will hear us, and we will be delivered. And I say, honey, it's time to come home, but
it is.
I'm already at home.
All right. All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much, folks.